Good morning, Dubai. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show, where we go through the top trending stories that everyone across the country is talking about. Technology, innovation, coming soon. You will be able to pay for the Dubai Metro with your face. I kid you not.
As well, the UAE strongly denounces terrorist attack on US military base in Jordan.
The ruler of Sharjah has donated 1 million dirham to honor Hamda Tariam after her tragic death.
As well, Dubai expat is thrilled to find lost items after 6 months.
The story we know so well. Also, later on in the show, Dubai comedian Anand Rahman on the success of his viral interview series. All of that coming up. But before we get to all of that, we have got no cups in front of us. However,
there is this Stanley Cup, you guys. Do you have it?
Why?
I think...
Why?
The thing is, what difference does it make? By the way, everyone in the office has it.
There's a few. So I've noticed like 3 or 4. They're pastel. They've recently changed the colors of the pastel. So we were trying to figure out, in case you've been living under a rock with no access to internet for the last, I don't know when this craze started. It feels like me just in the last month. This is the Stanley Cup, and it's the Cup du jour for kids, Gen Z, I guess.
Gen Z. 100%.
And everyone's got them. They cost like 120, 150 dirham to have, and all of a sudden they're a craze. So our question today is, why? And do you get it? And if so, can you please fight your corner? Because we don't.
I don't understand it. I mean, I am Gen Z, right? But I think, you know what, Casey? I think that millennials started this trend. You know, like there's
I actually get confused between all the Gen Zs and millennials.
I think millennials started this trend because like there's like this, like, it's all over TikTok, like, almond mom. Like, you know, a mom that just like wakes up, you know, does like healthy breakfast, wears her workout clothes.
So like an Instagram mom.
Yeah.
Got you. And she's holding a cup.
Literally. And, you know, and like she just like goes and does yoga, Pilates, and you know what I mean? Just is like a housewife, right? And I think she started that trend. Millennials started that trend. Because like, how can Gen Z know about these things? Like, Gen Z don't care. I am Gen Z. I don't care.
I get confused between the generations, to be honest, and what we're meant to care about. But I remember my first noticing of the Stanley Cup was like 2 months ago. Did you see that video that went viral of a Stanley Cup in a car, and the car blew up and went in flames, but the Stanley Cup survived? And everyone was like, just in case that ever happens in my life, my car blows up, I need my cup to survive.
No, actually, as well, you know what? In Syria, we do have like cups that are like Stanley cups, but they're not cups. I don't think in Syria, I think all, honestly, like the Middle East in general, you know, they're like, I would say, they're like gray and they're silver in color, right? But they're not cups like that.
So recently they've added the update of the pastel, which has seemed to entice a younger generation to spend 144 dirham on Amazon on a cup. We're going to open up the comments, by the way. If you're just joining us, this is the Love in Dubai show. I'm Casey. This is Farah. We go live every single weekday morning talking about Dubai news and things relevant to the audience. And if this is not relevant to you, you're probably more in my age bracket, I would say.
No, I'm Gen Z and I don't like it and I don't even know it. I don't even get the vibe or the hype out of it, to be honest with you. And not only
drink
that,
from
by
a
way,
cup. Sorry.
Literally, I don't get the vibe. I don't get the hype of it. Like, by the way, even like I saw a dermatologist on TikTok say that if you're drinking from that cup because you're sipping from the straw, you will be getting wrinkles around.
But that would be every straw.
Yeah, every straw, exactly. But then like, I don't get it. I think, you know what, it's the person who just like changed the colors, as you said, to pastel colors. It's
genius.
Just a marketing genius at this point. And I think the marketing genius who's behind this is from Gen Z. So
he's the guy that used to work for Crocs. So they made Crocs a thing and then they made Stanley a thing. And we just hope to God. Stop there.
Yeah.
But you know what? I do, you know, support the sustainability element, reusing your cups rather than reusing plastic. I think we have to praise that. But it's a lot of money for a cup. And if you're a 16-year-old and asking for it, you're thinking, why on earth do I need to pay for it?
I mean, at this point, when 10-year-olds are going all over Sephora asking for a retinol, this is like valid for them. This is valid for Gen Z.
Poor young kids. Some apparently have chipped their teeth on this straw. Let's bring it closer to home. Let's talk about our top story for you today. wave goodbye to your NOL card maybe, and make that extra space in your wallet because the RTA has announced an upgrade to its NOL system with a huge 350 million dirham investment. So Metro bus users, you're about to notice a significant change.
The RTA is making the NOL card system better and easier for users by switching to a centralized wallet technology, which was first showcased at Jitex last year. Think of it to a sophisticated technology which will use facial recognition, AI, and new payment options for smooth access.
Facial recognition at the Metro!
At this point, everything is like facial. Yeah. I'm just saying because like even your phone, you have to open it with like, you know, your facial recognition.
But facial recognition at the Metro.
That is crazy.
Phenomenal. That's amazing. Like, skip the queue. So essentially this card will live like your wallet system on your phone. It'll live in the wallet system on your phone. You'll connect it there. You'll basically top it up there, reducing the need for queues. And then as you're walking through the gates, it will recognize your face and there's no need to do that annoying, where's my wallet, where's my phone, the like those extra 3 seconds that you'll never get back.
And people waiting behind you and giving you anxiety to just like...
to find your phone and your bag that happens to have like 10 million items which are essential to carry throughout the day. This project is one of the key deliverables of RTA's Digital Strategy Roadmap 2023 to 2030. It launched last December and the move highlights RTA's commitment to bettering your experience and efficiency in public transportation. You see how in the last couple of years, Dubai Airports has just streamlined innovation to make it so smooth for us. We constantly talk about how quick it is. RTA is following suit, and this will be significantly reduce your time waiting and make your journey better.
And it will even reduce your anxiety, because technically, like, if I'm at the Metro and so on, I tend to like have a lot of anxiety because like someone's waiting behind me. I'm just like, where's my bag, all of these things. But it's really cool, honestly. At this point, just Dubai does not fail to amaze me.
And if you forget your card,
there's your face.
You've got your face.
You got your face, you guys. At this point, everything, and it's scary because everything has become through facial recognition at this point. I mean, come on, you guys. I'm really scared of the AI. No, next, I don't want to like...
This is AI. They're actually going to... Yeah. This is part of AI.
I know. I'm very scared. I am terrified of AI at this point.
Well, Thomas says, giving a new meaning to FaceTime. Exactly. We love that so much.
Yes. So, guys, let's jump to our next story. The UAE strongly denounces the terrorist attack on U.S. military base in Jordan. The Ministry of Foreign Affairs, in a statement, expressed complete solidarity with Jordan, highlighting the relationship between the two nations. It also endorsed all actions undertaken by the kingdom to safeguard the security and stability.
Last night, this breaking news came out that the UAE has emphasized its consistent stance against any violence or terrorism that seeks to destabilize security, emphasizing a commitment to upholding international law.
The ministry conveyed its condolences and heartfelt sympathy to the United States government and its people, as well as to the families of the victims affected by this attack.
Our thoughts and prayers are with the family of those attacked. And if you want more updates on the story, you can check out our Love and a Man Sister page, which is based from Jordan.
100%. It's a sad story to hear, you know, but it is going to end one day.
Moving on to our next story, the ruler of Sharjah has donated 1 million dirham to honor Hamda Tariam. So over the last couple of days, you'll have seen the tributes pouring in following the tragic death of the Emirati Hamda Tariam. The 24-year-old passed away on Saturday morning, according to reports.
In the wake of her death, many across the country paid tribute to her incredible achievements during her short life. And yesterday, she was honored by the one and only, the ruler of Sharjah.
So the ruler of Sharjah announced he is donating 1 million to continue to support her charitable work. She, in fact, had several charitable projects in Uganda, including the Hamda Vocational and Social Institute and the Tariam School for Orphans. You can see her work here behind us. She was well known and loved for this work, which provides free education to 350 students on all levels.
Along with the donation, Sheikh Sultan offered his condolences to her family at the Majlis Aza in Al-Wasit suburb in Sharjah.
The tributes have poured in following the sad death, and as we said, our thoughts and prayers also go to Hamda's family. It was a death too young.
It is, it is. But at some point, you know, like, you just, like, you never know when. We have a saying in Arabic, like, you can never know what tomorrow brings you. So the fact that she did all of this charitable work and it's recognized by the ruler of Sharjah, it's just beautiful. It just, like, gives you motivation to just do good and be kind, even if it's as simple as possible. Which lets us jump to our next story. Dubai expat shares on Facebook lost items found after 6 months. Now, once again, Dubai just proves us right on how safe the city is, as this Dubai expat shared a post on Facebook of things she lost or thought she lost 6 months ago, but has found them.
We always hear, you know, you lose things after a day or two, but this was 6 months. So, of course, Dubai Police were involved in this, as in her post she shared, saying sometimes the things you've lost can be found again in unexpected places. So found after nearly 6 months. And if you look at the photo behind us, we can go into intense detail what was lost and what was found.
By the way, anything could have been stolen. You know what I mean? If not, it's not even, not only Dubai is safe, but people who live in Dubai as well know not to take things. Like, you know what I mean? It's like everyone knows their boundaries. Everyone knows where they stand in a way. Like, you know, like, if it was, I would say, not safe, maybe someone could have taken the Visa card and just, like, take it.
I think there's a level of what's expected. So I'm not dampening my home country. I love it dearly. However, if you lose a wallet with all of the cards in it, usually the cash is fair game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if I lose my wallet, someone might open the wallet. There'll be like 200 dirham in it.
Yeah.
You might, the person will say, look, I'll get the card back to them. They'll hand in the wallet. They don't, the cash never comes back.
Never comes back.
So in this case, I think it's like, because you're never going to commit fraud.
True.
You're never going to tap someone's card.
That's true.
Unless you're, and the likelihood of a lost bag falling into a criminal's hand is rare.
That's
right?
True.
So you're not going to commit fraud. But I would say in this case, the headphones could have been fair game.
That's true, yeah.
Could have been fair game. And 100%. Any cash could be fair game. But in Dubai, people just don't even go there. There's no line. There's no blur line. It's very clear.
100%.
We don't steal.
100%, which is, yani, amazing. Because, like, at this point, as well, by the way, just like how it is in your home country, it's even worse in my home country. In my home country, if they would see a bag, even if it has nothing, they would just steal it. So she has everything. She has her ID, her Visa card, her lipstick, her Knoll card, her keys, everything.
It's crazy how blatant it can be. I remember sitting in the square in the middle of Dublin, and it was a busy square, and my bag was on the back of my seat. I know, probably shouldn't have been. But someone walked up to my table, lifted the bag, and slowly walked over to the other side of the square and just stood there. It was so blatant and so casual. And I ran after him, and I was like,
excuse me.
That's my bag. And it was just a very, I think the guy had maybe had a couple of drinks.
Yeah.
And he just kind of
he
was like, oh, sorry, there you go, take it back. And I was like, I can't believe that just happened. It was so blatant. Sorry, Ali, you had a story? Oh, I don't think that was intentional, though, Ali.
Oh my God, that's actually hilarious.
I don't, that couldn't have been intentional.
I don't think that was intentional, because, like, that happens at the beach, you know, like when you, let's say, like, you're swimming at the beach and you just, like, leave the water and you're like, you know, like, I've done it with my friends, you know, I've taken their shoes by mistake. But
you're right, that's a genuine concern. Mm. If you go to the beach in other countries, you're thinking, okay, I'm going to book my nice flight to my nice country, to my sunshine. And then you go to the beach and you cannot, as a solo person at the beach, leave your bag and go for a swim. So you're sitting there and, let's say, for example, you're traveling in Europe as a solo. And the water's there and you're sitting on the beach and it's so tempting, but you physically cannot leave your towel and your things because you will not come back to them.
That's true. That's true.
But and that's actually Dubai, not a thing.
Not in Dubai. Like, literally, when I'm in Dubai at the beach with my friends, we tend to keep our stuff there.
That's and what I mean. No, that's what I'm saying.
Them.
Yeah.
No one takes them. Like, and even, by the way, like, even when I was, like, at university, I would, like, keep my bag, like, at Starbucks table, and no one would take it.
That's what I mean.
That's how, by the way, that's even how you reserve a table. Yeah. Like, you know, at food court. Like, you just, like, put your phone, put anything there, and no one's going to go. No one's going to take the table. You're just going to, that's going to be, like, claimed to be yours.
Although, as we know, those videos have gone viral so much. We do not endorse those videos. Yes. We do not want a trend of people thinking you should leave your stuff there and tempting fate, because, as always, we are a population, we are a society, people can be vulnerable. Things can happen, so do not tempt fate. But we are very lucky, and I see your comments coming through saying safe country. We are so blessed to live in such a safe country. We do not take it for granted. Jumping in, we're going to jump from safety to comedy. Very shortly, we're going to be joined by Dubai comedian Anand Rahman. He is behind the success of the viral interview series, so we're going to get the lowdown on that very shortly. Do stay tuned. Hey guys, welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Our guest today is a seasoned marketer and a stand-up for over 6 years. Beyond TED Talks, his job interview series has reached over 200 million accounts, making people laugh on the daily. Welcome to the show, Anand Rahman. Thank you so much for being here.
Wow, thank you so much for having me. That was quite the intro. It's a lot to live up to, but
I mean, it's you.
Yeah, it is.
We're so excited actually to meet you. But before that, I would like to ask you that we had your comedy duo half last week. So how was the encounter with Sandeep? And if you could tell us more about it.
How did you guys meet?
Yeah, well, it was actually very interesting. So I'm a stand-up comedian. I've been doing stand-up comedy in Dubai for 6 years now. And Sandeep has been doing it for 12 years. He likes to call himself a veteran, as we would like to say. And I used to always see him around the shows. Yeah, he used to just come, perform, do really well. And then he would just kind of like leave and do his own thing, like go home. And the rest of us comics, we should just hang out, you know. And when I started doing the podcasts on Instagram, he reached out to me and he said, you know, I really want to do the podcast with you. And I was like, I don't really see how the dynamic could work. I'm not really understanding it. But we had a mutual friend, Abs, who got us together. And one day he couldn't make it for the shoot. And he was like, you should just do it with Sandeep. And I was like, okay, fine. You know, the podcast studio is booked. Why doesn't he come along? And he was such a fascinating, interesting character that, like, when I was sitting with him, I'm like, this is a bit surreal. I don't really know. And then we just shot, like, a couple of reels. I thought nothing about it. And he went to vacation in Tanzania. And I started posting the reels on Instagram and Facebook. And it was nothing. Like, my mom was just the first person commenting on all of the reels. So mom. Proud of you, son.
It's humble.
Yeah. And then she'd be like, so proud of you. I'm like, mom, it's comedy content. And she would message me in the DMs like, what does this mean? Like, she didn't really get it. And then one of the reels just kind of took off to like 20 million views. And then I posted the next one. The next day it got 30 million. And then it just kept climbing and climbing. And I'll never forget the first conversation. Yeah, the numbers like kind of get to your head, right? So I called up Sandeep while he was on vacation. And I was like, Sandeep, it's finally happening. 80 million views on a video. And his first response to me was, 80 million views, only 200,000 followers. What is this? I was like, oh my God.
Wow, like those, no, I don't think, like we have international comedy stars coming to Dubai all the time, and I don't think, you know, we have amazing comedians on our soil. Mm-hmm. Those numbers are not to be sniffed at, right? 80 million views, you've got 400, you now have 400,000 on Instagram. Mm-hmm. What was the first video that went viral? Like, what was the first one that got people talking?
Yeah, so the first one was actually a job interview video. We do this whole series where I'm interviewing Sandeep, and it was when I was asking him to speak in Arabic. And because it's so relatable to this region, it was really funny because, you know, a lot of us find ourselves in that situation when we're in an interview when they ask us to speak Arabic and we're like, mashallah. And so we found that that would be very relatable. So then we were like, let's explore this more. And yeah, it just went off from there.
Amazing.
Yeah, because you know what? We've seen that your interview series is like the most, you know, like, figured out like in your with your content and so on. Yeah. So would you say that your interview videos are based off experiences that you have been through?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, a lot of crazy interviews here in Dubai. You know, over the past few years. So I'll give you a bit of background into myself. So I moved from Buffalo. Well, I was born and raised here in Dubai, but then I moved back from the States after college. And I was just searching for jobs for about 5 years. I was living on my sister's couch, just like trying to find something. And there were so many shady places where they would try to pay me like an absurd salary, very low, or they would not offer me a visa, which is something that's not spoken about nowadays. But it used to happen back in the day where they would be like, okay, go through your probation phase and then we'll see if you're worthy of a visa. And oh. that was the thing. Like 3 months into it, I'd be like, can I stay here legally now? It doesn't happen anymore. You can complain if that kind of thing happens now. But yeah, there was a lot of toxic work culture that I had to sift through before I found the job that I'm working at now, which is an amazing company. So
what do you think are like the most, you said the, you know, the Arabic question we're all presented with in interviews, like what are else are interview topics that are very relatable for the masses?
Yeah, so I think being called into third round interviews is something we can all relate to. You know, we're spending gas money, we're spending emotional money, we're spending all of this just like, why do you need a third round interview? Salary expectations, you know, when we ask them for their budget and they're like, we want to gauge to see where you're at first. And you're like, what? Can you just tell me like what I'm working with here?
Yeah.
There's quite a few things. Like, you know, when they ask you like, I've been to one company where they asked me, okay, imagine you're on Mars and you had to recruit 5 other people to come on a spaceship with you on this expedition. I feel like Farah's been in this interview before.
No, I haven't, thank God. Yeah. No, I haven't been, but you know, like I'm very like quick to know what to reply if like let's say such a question would. Yeah.
What a redonkulous question to ask.
Yeah, it's the most absurd things. Like they'll give you puzzles, like there's 2 elves crossing a bridge with a light stand, and you know. There's been quite a few. Off the top of my head, one of the most often asked questions is why do you want to work for this company? Mm-hmm. Obviously. And you know, a lot of us can relate when we're just like, I just want to pay my Diva bill.
Do you have any advice for people on the back of that now, like having seen it all? And you probably get a lot of people messaging you.
Yeah.
So do you actually have like interview advice?
Yeah, absolutely. I would say just definitely gauge the company culture, the atmosphere. You know, you want to work in a company where you can feel like they care about you just as much as you care about them. Like Sandeep says, ask not what the employee can do for the company. Ask what the company will do for the employee. You know, he's gonna be like, "Bro, why did you talk in this?"
You do a great Sandeep.
Thank you.
You do.
And yeah, I think just gauge kind of the atmosphere. There's a lot of work culture here where you need to find the right environment, and I think that's super important.
So actually, when I was like looking at your picture today this morning, I thought I was like, I just woke up. I hadn't had my coffee yet, and I'm like, oh my God, I'll be interviewing Andrew Tate. So, for a second, then I'm like, oh, Farah, wake up.
Andrew Tate from Dragon Mart.
So, yeah, can you do for us an impression of Andrew Tate right now? Go on, let's see.
No way.
Oh God.
He came prepared.
He is ready.
My dear, we are live here in the Love in Dubai studios. The Matrix is attacking us in real time. This stream is now dangerous because they are trying to attack me. And I am the top echelon of man. I am the top G, Farah. Would you like to have a drive in my Bugatti?
It actually hurts me.
Does it hurt you?
Yeah.
Why does it hurt you?
Because I can't get behind what he stands for and what he tries to send out. So then when I have it here beside me, like, you do it really strong.
I appreciate that.
I think he's going to handle, like, خلاص, like, with the persona of Andrew Tate, I think.
Would you ever intentionally try to trigger people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm going to take these glasses off now because I'm going to be Andrew Tate the rest
You're
of the
interview. You're going to say it.
Yeah, so fun fact, he knows about me. He's seen the content, mm-hmm. and he reached out. I can't say exactly through what source, but he reached out on WhatsApp, and he's like, who is this guy who's imitating me? And then they were like, oh, he's a stand-up comedian. And then he was like, okay, fine. A lot of people need to understand, I like to make divisive content. I've been working in social media for 6 years. I'm very good at knowing what goes viral at this point. And I do different characters. The Tate one is the only one that I've fleshed out so far. It just so happens that I'm bald, he's bald.
Yeah.
You know, like a bunch of other similarities, like he likes kickboxing, I like kickboxing. But that's about where that ends, you know. But yeah, I know the kind of things that'll make people comment a lot. And so I like to make it funny, educational. The videos that I make with Denise is one of them. She's really good at playing like the Romanian, Russian woman who's in Dubai character as well. So it just plays along with me really well.
Amazing, because like, do you like do this intentionally, like to get clicks? you know what I mean, like clicks on your videos? Because like, you know, there's a lot of like clickbait titles that content creators do have so that they can get like viewers and so on. Do you do that?
For sure, yeah. I'm a comedian, so we're narcissists. We love attention. We love views.
Okay.
I do it for the clicks. I also do it because I just think it's funny. To be honest, when I'm hearing myself say it, it's just really funny. And at the end of the day, what I think is funny, I just want to put it out there. It makes other people laugh. So yeah, I do have to be careful about mentioning the name on certain platforms because I've gotten banned off TikTok quite like a couple of times because of putting some of the content out there. So
it's really interesting. I just feel like sometimes comedians need to have that, I can't really say it live, but like the no flies attitude. So for example, like Ricky Gervais will go up at the Oscars and just say whatever he wants, and it seems like he doesn't care. But so when you put things out there, do you generally not care about the reaction of people? Like, let's say, like they're getting upset over something, and do you just think it's comedy?
Absolutely, you have to have a thick skin in this business. I mean, I've gone up on stage for 6 years in barbershops in Dera with people heckling me, throwing drinks. You know, you have to have a thick skin and not care. And I think the most important thing is just staying true to yourself and knowing at the end of the day that my purpose and mission is to make people laugh. It just makes me feel really good. And so, if I can brighten someone's day.
Have you always been like funny? Like were you the class clown? Have you always been like the kind of a person that, you know, says something in, let's say, a group setting with your friends and people go like, oh wow, that's actually hilarious.
Yeah, I think definitely it was for a self-defensive mechanism for a bit. I used to be obese and I went to an all-boys school in Sharjah. So that should say a lot about it. I used to only see women at the end of the day when we would go near the bus, and that was our time for the riz, you know? That was like, we had 2 minutes when we'd be like, okay, behind bus number 32, you know, Aishwarya is going to come through. What am I going to say? And then the other boys are like hitting you on the back. So like, we had to be funny. We didn't have time, you know? The Arabic substitute teacher would come and like be yelling in the class, and I used to always be drawing on the tables, like these sketches and stuff, and then they would get annoyed at me, but always the class clown, for sure.
Interesting.
I wanted to ask, when we mentioned the Oscars and Golden Globes, what were your thoughts on the slack that Jo Coy got for her presenting? You know, as in, like, if you don't have much time to put together a performance and then the whole world basically criticizes your work because you're on a global stage, would you take that opportunity if you had it, given a limited time frame, and do you think it's unfair that people kind of ripped them?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you have to jump on every opportunity that you have, you know, and especially in this sphere, things are moving so quickly. And if you're not prepared, then obviously it is to an extent, it is your fault. But then I think he was doing the best with the opportunity that was presented to him. So, you just kind of have to go with the flow. Sometimes when I'm on stage, 5 minutes before I go on stage, I don't know what I'm going to say. And then I just come up with something from on the fly. You know, I see someone, like the other day, I saw someone in the crowd and I was like, you look like the guy who sold Forever Rose but didn't make it. You know, like he had like the same like waxed hairstyle. I was just hating on him because he had hair. You know, I dream of the day. Follicles.
All those people with that hair. Yeah. It was hate, you know, life. That takes a lot to do that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, as well, like, you know, because like being in comedy is not for the weak and it's not easy, right? Yeah. It's not easy as well to maintain. So like, what's your dream move? What's next in the comedy industry? Generally?
Yeah, I think the comedy scene here in Dubai has blown up so much over the past few years. Yeah. In the beginning, there was just one place where all of us would conglomerate over the weekends, like, please listen to my jokes. And now there's like multiple different amazing producers. There's Comedy Kicks, there's Flamingo Live, there's Mad Cat Comedy. And I think the main goal for me is to just take it global. I want to go and show the world that I'm not just the guy who creates content or job interviews or Andrew Tate. I want to go out there and you know, flex my funny bone. We haven't announced it yet, but I guess now I'm live and I kind of said that we haven't announced it, so I might as well just say it.
Yes.
Me and Sandeep are planning to do a tour in India, which is going to be our biggest crowd yet. It's going to be about 5 to 6 cities, Bangalore, Mumbai, Hyderabad. Very exciting stuff. It's happening in March. And we're going to have some shows in February as well. So this coming year is just going to be about stand-up globally.
We wish you the best.
Thank you.
That's so cool.
Thank you.
Good luck. Make sure to send us videos of you know, your comedy with Sandeep. That would be hilarious for us to have, like, let's say, I don't know, a skit. A few guys making jokes together. That would be such a cool combination, I would say. So if you are to criticize the comedy industry, like, you know, like, let's say, in Dubai, what is one thing, like, if you can make it better or criticize it in a way? Like, constructive criticism. What is one constructive criticism statement that you would give?
That's a very good question, actually. I feel like I'm in a job interview. Oh. No, I'm joking. That's actually at elves. Yeah, at elves. I would say, I think because the scene is so small and we're such a tight-knit community, we should all be there for each other. I'm looking into the camera because some of them, you know who I'm talking about. But there's, but it's because it's such a small knit community, there's also a lot of scarcity mentality where people think, oh, that person doesn't deserve it, I deserve it. If they get an opportunity that's big, I'm not getting an opportunity that's big. And there's a lot of, there can be a lot of backbiting, gossiping, those kind of things, which I think we need to all just stick together because there's so few of us here.
Really interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for that honest answer. we've jumped from impressions and we want to play a quick game, but before we get there, I have to tell you I'm a big fan of puns.
Oh, lovely.
And one of the series that Anand does on his Instagram is that you will, or TikTok, do you still have your TikTok account or did you delete
So I deleted it yesterday, yeah. I finally took it down because I wanted to start fresh. But I used to put a lot of my pun videos out there. I'm a pundit of sorts, yeah. Sounds like punishment now.
So what if we throw out one or two words?
Go for it.
Oh my days, okay, yes. I haven't prepped this. So maybe I'll say a word and then you'll say a word and he needs to make a pun of it.
Okay. Okay.
Sure.
I don't know if this is possible. What about...
You can do it. You can do it, Casey. Do it.
Burj Khalifa. Can you do that?
Let's start with like one word. Oh, Burj.
Can you do that? Okay. Flying.
Flying. Okay. Okay. Do you know why the man went on the aeroplane, but he used to never tell the truth? He was constantly flying. This is so bad. Give me another.
Maybe I don't get it.
Oh, it's like lying, flying, never telling the truth.
Got you.
Yeah, oh. It's a bit of a thinker.
It's a thinker.
Oh, okay, we had to think.
Yeah.
Deeper to get. Yeah.
It's a thinker. Yeah. Okay, you go.
She was like far enough.
No, yeah. I want one more.
Because her name's Farah. Far enough.
Okay, fine.
Better.
I mean, come on, my name. Fine. Let's make one.
Fair enough. I love that.
Food.
Okay, food.
Yeah, food.
Did you hear about the girl named Fala who never tied her shoelaces?
No.
Fala fell.
This is why we put people on the spot. It's amazing. We're going to do some more, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
less puns, more. We want to learn what gives Anand the ick.
Yes.
So icky is just like, it just makes you feel a bit gross.
Yeah.
So you doing the Andrew Tate impression.
Gives you guys the ick. Understandable.
Okay, so we're going to do a few more.
Yes. So let's start with smelly feet.
Ick. Oh, yeah, I can't stand the hygiene. Yeah. I mean, some people are into it. I'm not. Oh. It's not me. Like, take showers, you know?
Take showers.
Yeah.
Who's into, because the reason you mentioned a foot fetish on your page, I'm like, who's into smelly feet?
There's a lot of weird people out there. You would.
Smelly feet?
I can't put her on blast, but.
Okay.
There's, I can't mention her name. You know who you are out there. There's some people who I've gone to work out and then afterwards she's like, no, it's fine, just don't clean up. Yeah, I like the smell of you after the gym.
Say no more.
And I'm like, I can never see
God.
You.
Yeah. Oh God. That's
say no more.
When I get banned on Love and Dubai.
The last we saw of them. WhatsApp about work.
WhatsApp about
work? So like
work?
WhatsApping about work stuff.
Ooh.
Ooh.
The worst. I just want to say it's 2024. We should stop adding people to WhatsApp groups for work without their consent. Ask me first. Don't just, I'm just like, there's five different work groups. I don't know what's going on. Sarah is like, where is this meeting invite? I'm like, I don't even know who you are. It's the worst. I hate it. Yeah. Valid. And also after work hours, when it's like 8 or 9 p.m., I'm like, I am trying to watch Succession.
Valid.
So valid. Yes, please. Can someone like take a note of that?
Valid.
Influencers.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, it's icky. I don't like, there's a lot of influencers that I think they use the name to kind of propel their ego. And I'm an influencer, I guess, myself too, which I don't like to label myself as one. I like to label as the comedian first. But yeah, the going to a restaurant, eating the pasta, and then having to take the picture without enjoying the meal or enjoying the conversation is an ick. But it's also because influencers gives me PTSD from my previous job. So because I used to do social media, one of the jobs was to get influencers to come to restaurants and review our food. I worked in food and beverage. And so I would be like, hey, show up at 6 p.m., just take some pictures, enjoy the food, you know? And then my manager would come up to me and say, Anand, no, what do you mean you're going home? You have to go to the restaurant and make sure they take pictures of the food. And so Casey, Farah, I would stand there behind them, watching them as they ate the food, and I had to be like, oh, could you just take a picture of that? And I had to stay there for like an hour just watching them eat their food.
That's awkward.
That's icky. Yeah. That's really icky.
That's awkward. Well, speaking of that, which by the way looks like a work date. So dating in Dubai gives you the ick or not?
It really depends where you try to date in Dubai, because there can be like, if you're going on Tinder, you're just doomed for failure, you know, unless you like massage cars. Tinder is just rifled with like scams.
Scams.
Dating in Dubai, I think people are often on an exit flight out of Dubai, is what I always like to say. They're on a transit flight out. Like one of my exes, she used to always say, I want to move to Canada. And I would be like, babe, it's really cold. Why do you want to go to Canada? Dubai is amazing. It has good weather most of the year, I would say. And she'd be like, no, I want to go somewhere where it's really cold. So I took her to ski Dubai just to keep her happy. But yeah, dating in general.
And together, not so much.
Yeah.
We know how that one worked out.
Yeah. Dating in Dubai, they want to see what car you drive. They want to see if you've got a place to live, if you have a valid visa. Why do we have to have all these restrictions on ourselves? You know, like, let's just fall in love spiritually.
I'm sensing a no here. I'm sensing not a fan.
Yeah, not a fan.
Okay, we've got time for two more.
Okay.
Men and women platonic friendships.
Ooh.
I bring out the Tate glasses again?
Maybe, yeah.
Go on.
If you feel so strongly.
I don't feel so strongly about it. I just feel like...
That's interesting.
Men, as a man, speaking as a man, last I checked, it's hard for us to build platonic relationships without there being some kind of underlying thing involved in it. Usually men want something more and they don't let on to it. They just kind of like lurk around in the background like, hey, I think your boyfriend is so mean to you and I don't think he's doing the right thing. But really you're just like, okay, Richard, calm down. I don't know why Richard was the first name. Richard is a great guy, by the way. I have a vibe in here that Richard is the most amazing person ever. And I feel like based on your laugh...
Richard is our boss, my brother, by the way.
I knew that.
Oh, okay.
I could tell. See, spiritually, there's an energy coming from Richard.
Did you actually know he's my brother?
Yeah, actually. Okay. I got to know because one of his best friends is actually my boss, who is the most amazing person in the world from my company that I work for full-time, which is LMTD, one of the best companies in Dubai. It's a social media agency. Shout out, Will. Love you.
This was entirely paid, this entire
whole thing
segment
was planned,
just for that.
Richard brought me in.
We're so good at native advertising, don't you know?
Yeah.
So, Richard.
Richard.
Lurking in the background.
Lurking in the background. He wants to know, you know, if you're feeling down about your boyfriend, he's just like, I'm here to comfort you. I'm here for you. I also feel like, after a certain point, Farah, don't you think that feelings end up getting involved for one or the other party and then they end up feeling bad about...
I don't think so. I think depends. Like if I know the guy like since like school, No, I'm not gonna develop feelings. I'm gonna look at him as a brother, you know. And I don't think he's gonna develop feelings for me either, because he's gonna look at me as like a sister. You know what I mean? I feel like such platonic friendships, you know, like are like healthy.
Let me ask you this. If you told your parents with that friend that you were from high school with, that I'm going to spend the day watching movies with him and then we're going to have a sleepover or something, would your parents be okay with that?
I mean, I can go watch the movies with them and I can have like a sleepover if there's like a lot of like friends, you know, we can go like travel together.
Why does there have to be a lot of friends? Why can't it just be the two of us? Platonic.
Everyone's like, nah, it's not happening. We've unfortunately run out of time. Enjoy that sleepover with your friends.
Understandable.
Thank you so much. We've hit our time limit, unfortunately, but you've been an absolute legend for all of those answers. We really appreciate your time this morning.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Shout out, Love in Dubai.
Guys, that is all we have time for on the Love in Dubai show. We're back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from all of us.
Thank you, guys. Bye.